It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Happy Tuesday to you. He is Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass. I'm Chase McCabe with you. Hope you're having a wonderful day so far, and hope you had a nice, safe Memorial Day. Hope you took some time to remember those that we've lost in service, as that weekend was about. But what's up, Joe?
There we go. Press. You know what's crazy? You press the red button, your mic comes on, right? Yeah. How you doing, man? So you got your voice back from an exciting Saturday night of Nashville Cats football.
I did, yeah. It was fun. Really enjoyed it. A good crowd on hand. So that was really cool. Hats off to the Cats, and they got the win, so that was fun.
People asking me, friends, just like, how was it? I'm like, it's fun. We know what it is. It's arena football. It's fun. The crowd had a good seeing them open sections at Municipal Auditorium because the crowd was so good was really, you know, we like Greg and Coach Fisher and all that. And so it's good for everybody involved. And it was just a fun night of football and people got into it. It was really cool.
Dr. Crane, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, gentlemen. I am been busy. I did a whole thing of, I guess, what do you call that?
Shower?
No, not showering. It's with the driveway. Sealed the driveway.
Oh,
did
nice.
That this past weekend. It was very busy. Shoulder hurts a little bit, but besides that, we're great.
Did you go to Lowe's and get some sealer and grunt the whole time? Like, like tool time?
Yeah, you could say that. You call me Tim the Toolman Taylor. I mean, just it was busy.
I'm telling you, sealing a driveway is extremely therapeutic.
It really
satisfying.
Is. Really especially is. If it's hot, then you just take your shirt off and get a tan, which was kind of...
What time is this going to be?
Whoa, easy now, Joe.
About noon?
No.
Pressure washing is also very therapeutic.
It is.
Mowing the grass, like I mowed the grass this weekend. It was very therapeutic.
Do you stand on the front porch with a beer and admire what you've done?
I do, actually. 100%.
He's like, I did that.
So yeah.
You take some.
That's good.
So, and by the way, full disclosure, I tried to separate this weekend and just be off. So I did not listen to the fine program of Force Company yesterday, but I'm going to assume it was great.
Yeah, it went fine. Not that's too good. Shabby. Another great show. We all go out there and give 100% effort.
That's what
it should be.
That's what I love to hear.
You just don't read the text that people send in. But other than that,
that's, I read the text. They just didn't acknowledge it.
Yeah. Like if you guys haven't listened, you know, this is it's something that's kind of near and dear to me to give these guys their reps. But you know, Dr. Crane, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, they do a great job on Saturday mornings 9 to 11 usually. But you know, get to step up to the big leagues every now and then, you know, especially this time of year. So great job on that. So I mowed my grass, and I have, you know, I have a good bit of land, so there's a lot of real estate to cover. With
push mower or rider?
Well, that's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
So I have both. However, the riding mower, I broke the belt. So Hair Metal Henry, I've already broken a belt on the mower that you sold
me.
Oh, no. So I got to replace that. So I haven't done that yet, and I was like, my push mower, for whatever reason, like, at the start of the season, would not start, and, like, my neighbor's looking at it, there's something in the carburetor, like, it, you know, and I'm like, well, crap. So I decide on Friday, I get home, and I need to go check something in the yard, and the grass is just super high, and I'm like, man, I don't want to walk through that, and I'm like, you know what, for giggles, I'm going to see, this mower's been sitting here for a minute, I'm going to see if maybe it'll start up.
All right.
Started right up.
And you're like, damn it.
Yeah, no, I was actually really happy. So I was like, all right, here we go. I mowed all around my house, most of it, with the push mower, and it was a workout. But it was so satisfying.
Any snakes around?
Did not see any snakes.
Did you check yourself for ticks?
I did. We pulled a couple off.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
So I went to Lowe's, and I got the stuff to spray around the house for ticks. So
I believe you can burn those off as well.
You can, yeah.
Didn't we have an argument last year about this?
We had an argument like 2 weeks ago about this.
Probably. About something aroma around the house that so ticks away
yeah.
and everything?
Yeah, yeah.
So what?
But you can, and it's crazy too. Like if you burn them, like they'll like incinerate.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What do you have? You know, bug zappers are great too.
Yeah.
Because I like watching them.
You're talking about a satisfying.
I like that. I used to get a tennis racket and smack carpenter bees that come around. And that was so much fun doing that. So how long did it take you?
Like an hour and a half.
Headphones on?
Oh, yeah.
What's the jam?
I was in a classic rock mood, so we had some Rush, we had some Journey, we had some Skinner in there, some Zeppelin, like I would just getting 70s done. And 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes the time go. I can't do podcasts when I'm doing stuff like that.
No, I need music. Yeah. I need it because I'm singing, I'm kind of like going, trying to find the beat, you know. So.
Oh, okay, good then. Yeah. I like it.
I want to get the riding mower fixed because that's better for my land. And that's fun, too. I mean, that's, you know, you're kind of cruising around. See you, Joe. You have a good one.
There's nothing more annoying than chewing gum. So I'm like, I got gum. What am I doing? I don't do that.
Did the mint flavor go away?
It's the cinnamon, man. The Minto cinnamon.
Better.
Like Big Red.
It's addicting. I got to stop doing that. I mean, I'll buy a whole thing, and I eat the whole thing in a day, man. I can't do that. So it's good.
Shout out to Vanderbilt getting the number one overall seed. They win SEC tournament. What's funny is, like, I had planned to come in here and be like, Vandy's back, baby. And then I hear Robbie and Raxrow discuss right before we came on, did they ever really leave? And, I mean, if you think about it, 19 straight postseason appearances, which is amazing. Under Tim Corbin. He's been there 23 years, I think. Is that right? Or is it longer than that?
03, right? So 03 to 25 would be 20 because you count seasons.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That's what he told us when he's on the show with us.
So you think about that, and you've made the regionals 19 straight times since he's been there. Yeah. I mean that's just
– Well, he's done it to himself,
yeah,
which is good. Right. It's like the National
Predators. It's a good problem to have.
It's like we took for the granted for the National Predators going to the playoffs every year, and they don't. We're like, hey, man. And you're like, oh, wait, they went all these years in a row. So for Vanderbilt doing that, I just like the fact that they just played their game, shut their mouth, and won. That's it. You know, all the other hype that goes on, and not saying you can get emotional and you get excited about playing baseball like the Vols did, which is fine. That's just not Vandy's MO, man, and they rolled through that. So them getting the number one seed. I think if they win the region, is it Southern Miss? I think it's Southern Miss that comes here.
They're like a 16 overall seed, I believe.
Yeah, so 116, right? My son-in-law went to Southern Miss, so I'll be torn on that right now a little bit.
Yeah. Tennessee, a 14 seed. They'll host a regional, and then if they're able to get out of that, then I believe they would go to Fayetteville.
Correct.
Which is not going to be – yeah, it's not going to be easy. I mean, I think that Vanderbilt, you know, has an opportunity to make a run to Omaha, but you know, things have to go their way. I mean, they've gotten hot at the right time. I think that Tennessee series was kind of when they shifted into another gear, but they have got to continue that through this. They, you know, you don't have to be perfect by any means, but they have to limit their mistakes. And if they can do that, then I see no reason why Vanderbilt wouldn't be in Omaha.
I always go back to that 07 Vandy team with David Price. It was just loaded, and then Michigan beat him in the regional, and they hit the home run off David Price on that Monday night, which is like 11 o'clock at night. I always go back to that, like, man, that team was so good. The 13 team was good at Vandy, probably the best team Corbin's ever had over there. But I know they won the title in 14 and 19, but hopefully they can do it again. You know, there's very few coaches now in college that have won multiple national championships. With Saban gone, that took one out of the mix. So you got Corbin and Dabo. Am I leaving another football coach out? That's current coach.
That has done what was your?
Multiple national championships.
Dabo is one.
Kirby. Yeah, all right. Kirby added to the list. Basketball would be the guy in Connecticut everybody hates.
Hurley.
Hurley, yep. Geno's won in women's.
Geno, yeah.
Dawn Staley won too.
Yeah,
South Carolina. So there's only a handful of coaches that won multiple national championships.
Men's basketball, I'm trying to think if there's who else is active.
Well, Jay Wright got out. So that was
Coach
two.
K got out.
Coach K got out. I don't think so. Because Drew won in 21 at
who
Baylor.
Who won this year? I don't even remember who won this year.
Won it? You're talking about Florida?
Florida, that's right.
Good Lord. Yeah, so he's only won one. So that's good for him. Good for Corbin. Good for that. So guy's a damn treasure, man. We're sitting here talking Vanderbilt baseball.
Yeah.
20 years ago, we're not talking Vanderbilt baseball.
No.
None of this.
He's made it relevant. And he proved a lot of people wrong this year, because I think there were a lot of people who are like, yeah, they're not coming back.
Passed him by.
Yeah, you know, the he's lost his fastball. The game's passing by. He doesn't want to play the portal. He don't, you know, and it's like, and he's so humble, he's not going to be this way. But in some ways, he was kind of like, hold my beer. Watch this.
Right? That's what he's done. So, well, hold on now.
And to his, you know, the thing I like about Tim Corbin is I don't think he loves, you know, where the game has gone and the game that you have to play. But he's also willing to play it, you know, and do it his way and also continue to develop by recruiting out of high school and bringing in guys. And
think of all the guys he's lost to the draft.
Sure.
I mean, it's sure. That list, I saw the list, it's amazing. Guys have gone on. What, the Yankee shortstop, I forget that dude's name, was coming here. And he, you know, got drafted by the Yankees. He's going to be their shortstop. And
Anthony Volpe.
There you go. Right. Is he starting for them?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's a Vanderbilt guy. You know, so it's all the people he's lost, and good for them. And it's just, it's a positive thing at that school, and they needed a positive, athletic, impactful coach. He was the one. Because, you know, they went to the bowl game. Was it 08? They went to the bowl game. And football, basketball had been made some tournaments, but this guy took it to the next level, made us watch baseball, college baseball at that. So good for Tim Corbin.
Yes, indeed. We will talk to Andrew Allegretta coming up at the top of the hour at 10 o'clock. He, of course, on the call, as you heard here on 102.5, 106.3, the game, will get his thoughts on Vanderbilt in the regional and all of that moving forward. A lot to break down from the weekend, but coming up next, we'll get to our question of the day.
Here it is. Our question of the day, I want everybody to respond on this, 615-737-1025. Something
driven
that happened
by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Thank you. Something that happened this weekend, and Chase McCabe, our question, I've already told Dr. Crane so you can put it on the Twitter sphere, X sphere, whatever it is. Chase McCabe, who is the most influential person in football right now? The most influential person in football right now.
NFL or college?
Any, all the way across the board.
That is an extremely easy answer for me.
Okay.
I will tell you coming up next.
Sounds good, pal.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's Chase and Big Joe on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Eastern Kentucky. I like the way this feels. Yeah. Head coach Walt Wills. Good luck. Keep it rolling. Go Colonels. I'll see you at the Casa Fiesta Mexican.
Daniel Boone was a man. Yes, a big man.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday. Shout out to John Gruden giving a shout out to the coach, Walt Wells, and the Colonels of Eastern Kentucky. By the way, do you know this song?
Summertime Girls?
Yeah.
Kiss?
Nope.
David Lee Roth?
Nope. They're a band. If Hair Metal Henry's listening, he knows who this
God,
is.
God, turn it up. Can you? Sammy Hagar?
Nope.
Damn it.
Y&T.
Oh, my goodness.
Had a few hits in the, I guess, the 80s. This was one of them. Dagwood is who got me into Y&T, but I love this song. Wow. I've actually seen them live at, like,
yeah, I remember them.
I mean, it was a small venue, but it was really cool. But anyway,
I could have guessed them for another hour, wouldn't have gotten it right.
That was really cool to see John Gruden. He does the box openings on his X account, and then did it with Walt Wells and the Colonels.
So, which leads to our question today: who right now is the most influential person in football? And I'm telling you, after the unboxing that John Gruden does for football teams in the coaching and player world, John Gruden is the most influential person right now. I talked to Coach Wells last night. He said the people weighing in and commenting and sending him notes, the after effect of all that is unlike anything he's ever seen. And that was coaching at Kentucky and Tennessee. He said he heard from so many coaches and ex-players about what John Gruden did and talked to other coaches who he's done an unboxing for, and the same thing. The guy is just amazingly – now, you could come at me with Greg Sankey or Roger Goodell. Those guys are pawns. I don't think they're influential. I think they're pawns, right?
Well, you just ruined my – you just totally killed my thunder.
Well, you could say whoever you want.
Greg Sankey's the most influential person in football.
I don't think he is.
I think
and
he
that's
is.
Fine. And
I
that's
think,
fine.
I think he is running college football without running college football.
But
because
he's
everything that the SEC does or he says needs to happen eventually happens.
Players and coaches don't give a rat's ass about Greg Sankey. I'm talking about
that's fine. They don't have
football.
To. They don't that with Goodell.
He's
too.
Talking about things off the field that they don't concern these guys.
Yeah, but they should because I think in many ways he's responsible for college football being where it is now.
Okay, I mean
with NIL, with transfer portals, with
he's
it
important.
Becoming a pro league, he has had a lot to do with that.
He's important. I will give you that. He's important, but influential. I think it's John Gruden, and right under John Gruden, I think it's Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid is taking the game of offensive football to another level that people are trying to emulate in all leagues, junior high, high school, college, JUCO, on down.
Do you credit Andy Reid for that, or do you credit Patrick Mahomes because he's able to do that?
I credit Andy Reid with that because Andy Reid did it with Randall Cunningham. Not Randall Cunningham, with Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
I mean, he did some amazing things with McNabb and never won a Super Bowl. And I get they didn't win a Super Bowl. I understand all that. But Mahomes helps him. To go out, Mahomes is running the game plan that Andy Reid created. So that, but as far as football, I mean, I was just talking to him last night. It's like the just people in the coaching world and all that. They're just love Gruden and all with this unboxing that goes on. I mean, that's I'm thinking, is there anybody close between I'll throw Sankey in there and to me Goodell? I'm still Goodell is a pawn. He doesn't do anything for me. But those guys, I mean, is there anybody else in the neighborhood?
615-737-1025, 6638 says, easy question, Roger Goodell. And he then responds to you and says, Joe, social media influence does not mean most influential.
Pretty big. It's in this world, it's pretty damn big. Go watch all those unboxings that he does and the views and the teams and the comments. I mean, it's huge. And, you know, we go back to the Gruden quarterback camp. I mean, that was must-watch football. Because it's unlike something we'd never seen before. Unlike these bozos on ESPN now and trying to break something down. I mean, Gruden got into it. I mean, it was something different we'd never seen before.
Nevada Josh says, I got one that nobody else will name. Hunter Renfrow. Dude leaves the NFL in his prime because he was diagnosed with a sickness. Gets his health under control. Now he's back at it with the Panthers. It's a good way to show people never give up and keep fighting your fight. I love that. Like, probably not the most influential, but
feel good.
Something to definitely watch for. So
absolutely.
I do like that.
Yeah.
Devin and Dixon, for me, it's still Nick Saban in college, and then it's Roger Goodell for the NFL. What Goodell wants, he gets no matter what. Keep in mind, though, to your point, what Goodell does is what basically three or four owners tell him to do.
Yeah. He works for the owners.
He works for three or four owners.
Yep.
I mean, in your mind, like the most influential owners in the league are probably Jerry Jones, Kraft, is whether you like him or not, is probably still up there. Jeffrey Lurie is probably up there. The Hunts are up there. The Rooneys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got bosses. And,
right.
And look – no disrespect, but if Amy Adams Strunk calls and says, hey, Roger, can we work on doing this? In his mind, sure. Let me get back to you on that.
Right.
We'll circle back after the first of the year. You know what I mean? It's and then if he calls Jerry, Jerry's like, hey, Raj, this is what I want. I want him. This is what I want.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, sir, Mr. Jones. Devin and Antioch. This is an interesting one. Or Dylan and Antioch, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, it's probably Pat McAfee.
I could see that.
That's an interesting one.
I think Gruden trumps McAfee, but I still think McAfee is out there. Yeah, I mean, it's. I get it.
5885. Another great take from Woke Joe Dubin.
Woke. Oh, my God. That's the last thing I am.
Yeah. CT says Jerry Jones. I think at one time he might have been in the NFL. I don't think so anymore.
Right. I mean, it's Jerry, right? I mean, we all laugh at him. What's he going to do next? We don't talk about any other owner in the league like this, do we? Mm-mm. Like, what's happening with Jerry? It's all about Jerry. So, yeah. I do that. But this is just a great debate because there's no number one unanimously. Yeah,
right.
You know?
Well, and I think, I mean, you have to separate college and pro. Like, there's one for college, there's one for pro, at least right now. At some point, maybe it's for both. But
I think Saban lost a little when he retired or got out. I mean, he's still.
Yeah. But he's still listened to.
Yeah, he does. But I just, after going back and watching these Gruden things and the response and all the coaches and players and just what it did, nobody else would do this.
No. It's smart. And whoever got him to do that.
Yes. Yeah, he'd done it for a bunch of teams. I mean, it's not going to have the same effect on that. It's just not.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Kenny the mailman wants to weigh in. Hello, Kenny.
Hey, I tell you all who's influential y'all two are. You know why?
Why is that?
Because listening to y'all interview the stars of the last rodeo and talking about it, the lovely and gracious Babette and I dressed up, and we went to see it yesterday on an official date. Now, she's a little ticked off to get the AARP discount. We went at 10:30 a.m. She didn't get her popcorn, but you know what? We both enjoyed it. Did y'all enjoy it?
I've seen about 19 different clips. I've not seen the entire movie yet, but how was it?
Yeah, it was really good. I give it a good solid B. And the main thing I liked about it, there's no huge stars in it, but you recognize just about everybody. And I think Hollywood messes up. These character actors have paid their dues. They're in tons of stuff. They know what they're doing. And Neil McDonald and Michael Williams, they were very, very good in it. So it was just a good, pleasurable story. You didn't feel dirty sitting listening to the language. It wasn't a, you know, outlandish story. And I don't like rodeo. I wouldn't sit and watch anything about the rodeo, but they built a good story around it. So, yeah, I give it a good B.
Love it. Look at you. Awesome. You're like a young Siskel and Ebert over there.
I appreciate y'all finding stuff like that and, just maybe on the outskirts of sports and everything, but it gave us something good to do. And Babette is very, very happy I did something and got her out of the house.
Attaboy.
Well, happy to hear it. Thanks, Kenny.
Y'all have a great day.
You too. Kenny the Mailman joining us here on the program.
Should be a weekly segment. Kenny at the Movies.
I like that. Mailman at the Movies.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. That's that. Kenny, think about that. I like that.
Dr. Crane, your movie review has been restricted after you got Dallas, the TV show, confused with another movie with Dallas in the title.
That is
and
an all-time.
VHS.
That's right. An all-time moment.
Just saying.
We had that on VHS.
I'm a pure brain guy. I just don't see, way past
the look I gave Chase, he gave me when you said, I was like, this has to be wrong. This has to be wrong. But part of me hopes it wasn't. It was correct, but well.
It was wrong.
It was wrong. Oh, that's so good. Coming up next, there is something that is going to happen that a league is not going to like. And it kind of got me thinking about something related to here and the harsh reality that we all live in. I'll explain what that means coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel and broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Tuesday. Dr. Crane back there on the ones and twos. I like it. I don't know what this is, but I like it.
Something big country. I don't
know. Okay, all right. David Stewart? Good to see Big Dave.
Big man, worst interview ever, but he told us when he could interview him, he's like, hey, you don't want to interview me, I'm terrible, and he was.
He and Roos didn't have much to say, but they showed it on the field.
They're great. They're great.
They were awesome. So I kind of alluded to it going to the break, but if you've been paying attention to what's going on in the NHL and the NBA, you'll notice that at least one side of the bracket is going to do something that the league, they won't admit it, but they're going to hate. And in the case of the NBA, they could get both to the finals. And what I mean by that is you're basically going to get in the NBA, Oklahoma City or Minneapolis, Minnesota, likely Oklahoma City since they're up 3-1, against either Indianapolis, Indiana, or New York. Okay. Now, the NBA would love the New York TV market. But if the Pacers keep playing the way they've been playing, I mean, they very well could be up 3-0, then it could be Pacers Thunder in the NBA Finals, which the NBA would never admit it. Adam Silver would never admit it.
Right.
But they would hate it because of the TV markets.
I mean, Indiana, Oklahoma City would just not appeal to anyone outside those areas and a diehard NBA fan.
So I'm not a diehard NBA fan. Like, I am – I don't even know if I'm a perimeter NBA fan. Like, I barely pay attention to it until we get to the playoffs.
Right.
I've been watching some of both these series, and I've been thoroughly entertained. I think it will be good basketball if it's Oklahoma City, who I think's the best team in the, you know, in the playoffs, against Indiana or against New York. I mean, I you know,
I should want to watch that.
TV market aside, I think you'll see good basketball.
I should want to watch that, but I don't think I will. I mean, right. And that just because it's Indiana and Oklahoma City, and I think it's good basketball.
And then in the NHL, we're, even though Carolina won last night to stay alive, probably going to get Florida. And I know you may think, oh, that's Miami. It sort of is, but that it's not a household name, you know, the Florida Panthers, even though they're the defending Stanley Cup champions. And then you could get Dallas or you could get Edmonton, which is not a great TV market. So it's kind of the same thing in the NHL side. But again, I think these playoffs have been very compelling. So the reason I bring this up is we always say that, oh, the league, you know they wouldn't like this. You brought up, as we were kind of talking about this in our pre-show meeting, that really just us talking in the hallway is what it was.
No. Pre-show meeting.
Dr. Crane, you know, made a joke. It was awesome. But you said, oh, the NFL would probably hate Arizona. And I go, what about Tennessee?
Yeah. I mean, we're
the sad reality is the Titans, we would love to see them get to the Super Bowl again, but the sad reality is the NFL would hate it.
Yeah, I couldn't see – when you brought Tennessee up, I'm thinking, I can't see the forest because of the trees. And Arizona-Tennessee would be an awful matchup for the National Football League that the home office would absolutely hate. Carolina-Tennessee, I mean, you take those teams, they would hate that. That's why I'm making the Indiana-Oklahoma City, the league office, like, oh, yeah, happy face. But inside, like, oh, my God, this is terrible. I mean, can you imagine an Arizona-Tennessee Super Bowl? It'd be the lowest-rated one of all time. Because I think Carolina-Denver, if I remember correctly, was the lowest-rated one of all the ones that went on. That was back in the 2015 season, but
I forgot. I mean, that was Peyton's last game, too, wasn't it?
That's when I'm going to go home and give me some Budweiser. That's $1 million in my pocket, man. Papa John, get your ass over here, man. Let me give you a hug, man. That's another $1 million for me. But, no, I think that you're right, man. And I feel bad about myself thinking that Tennessee's not in that echelon. They're so far at the bottom that the league office would be like, oh, God, what's going on here? You're right.
Yeah, and Mike and Lemon said the Stars would be massive in Texas, no doubt. And Dallas, is a good TV market. So I mean, I think that
top 10, yeah.
You know, the league.
Well, Miami's top 5 or top 10. I'm sorry.
I know, but I don't think Miami. Correct me if I'm wrong. If there's anybody listening from Miami, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think Miami's a good sports town. I think there are people that like the Dolphins because of the history and Dan Marino and all of that, but I don't feel like the Heat has this, you know, huge loyal following. The Marlins definitely don't. Like, I think people forget the Marlins even exist.
Soccer is. We talked to our good friend.
That's a good point.
Our good friend Amy, we were down there for the MTSU game. We're talking about soccer and Messi and all how that
So how
was.
Much of that, and that's a really good point, and Dr. Crane, you may want to weigh in on this. How much of that is Messi? How much of that is a high Hispanic population, which generally, you know, loves football or soccer?
Oh, yeah.
How much of it is both? I mean, that I think is a really, really good point. But, like, the Florida Panthers play in Sunrise. They don't play in Miami. They're actually, I think, closer to Fort Lauderdale than they are Miami. And so I don't think they get a lot of traction from Miami proper. So that's a part of it. But Dr. Crane, how would you say what is it, Miami FC or
Inter-Miami? Yeah.
Inter-Miami. Yeah. I mean, I feel like how much of it is the population and how much of it is Messi?
I think it's kind of grown as Messi's, you know, been in attendance for sure. Miami's roster, but I'd say it's more Messi than Miami itself. Okay. I think there's been a lot of fans that have gravitated towards Inter Miami, obviously because of his name and, you know, his career, but he brings in a lot of his friends as well that bring in a lot of, you know, attraction, eyeballs. So I'd say it's more the team than it is the actual fan base.
Okay, that's fair. Justin on our text line says, to be honest, I couldn't give two poops about the NBA, but if the final is Indiana and Oklahoma, I might actually watch that. The league seemed to be stacked so long towards big markets that it's unappealing. So you might actually get the opposite.
That's why
I'm kind of with him on that.
I should be watching that. It just doesn't sound appealing to me when I know it's like, oh, they're not the big market teams, when this could be really good basketball. Really good basketball.
But I mean, like, I know Oklahoma has SGA, who just won the MVP, but like, there aren't, you know, Tyrese Halliburton. If I say the name Tyrese Halliburton, you're looking at me like I have no idea who that is.
No clue. I think it's the isn't that the briefcase, the Halliburton?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no. No, he's one of the main stars for the Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
So, but if I say LeBron James, you know who that is.
Yeah.
It's like, so I think that that's been the problem with the NBA is they've only had a handful of teams with these stars, and now that you have a, you know, you may have a couple teams. Even the Knicks, the Knicks don't really have household names.
I'd have to disagree. I think, I mean, Jalen Brunson's a massive superstar from Dallas,
right? Sure.
And then Carl Anthony Towns,
Kentucky.
Josh Hart. I mean, he was with Villanova with Jalen Brunson. Minus that, you do make a good point. I think they're starting five notable players. Minus that, nobody.
Notable players. To you that watches basketball, but
average fan,
right? But to somebody like him that's just going to tune in to watch the finals, not people, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, there's not a different names like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, right?
Or like even Anthony Davis. I mean, there's probably five players in the NBA that you could name to somebody on the street and they would know who they are. And that probably goes for any sport. You know, the NFL may have more, but
hey, Indiana's got a Vandy guy. Aaron Nesmith?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
He's there.
He was the reason why Indiana won, I think, game two. I was informed about that.
What's the series record now? I probably know that.
Indiana's up 2-1.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think, this is right. New York was down 20 points going into the second half of game three, and they came back and won. That blows my mind how NBA does that.
But I think Indiana was due for that. Like, because the way they came back and won game one, you kind of knew they were due. Good question, 8566. Do the teams playing affect the Super Bowl ratings as much as they do for NBA, NHL? Super Bowl feels matchup proof.
That's a good point. I don't know.
I think it has an effect, but not quite as big of an effect as other sports. Like the World Series, you know, like I think last year got people's attention because it was Yankees-Dodgers.
Yeah, right.
And unfortunately, it wasn't a very good series because the Dodgers just owned it. But like, that was appealing because it was two historic franchises in the two biggest markets in the country.
And it's Yankees-Dodgers.
And it's Yankees-Dodgers.
Iconic, right. On that, yeah. I just think a matchup, I mean, look, if you're going to watch Super Bowl, you watch Super Bowl because you love the Super Bowl. I mean, Arizona-Tennessee might slide by, but I don't know on that. I mean, I'll watch because it's Tennessee, but overall, you're going to watch that if you're living in, I don't know, Denver? Probably not. I mean, it's just probably not. You're probably looking at it different. That's why the league offense. And they can lie to our face. Oh, we're excited about that, knowing good and well. Like, another example. Say Iowa State plays Kentucky for the college football championship. I'd love it.
Sure.
But you know the powers to be in the –
they'd be like, oh.
And the TV will be like, oh, come on, man. There's no way we could do that. But I'd love to see that kind of a game in the national championship.
No, okay, so let's say the Final Four of the college football was Iowa State, Kentucky,
Minnesota.
No, Iowa State, Kentucky, Alabama, Ohio State, and they beat the. They had to beat Alabama and Ohio State to get there. The narrative, the conversation, the whole time would be. Would not be how Iowa State and Kentucky won to get to the championship. It would be how Alabama and Ohio State lost.
I agree. And we were also exhausted by the time Ohio State played Notre Dame. We were exhausted. We were like, we barely talked about it the next day.
Yeah.
We were just so tired of that. That's why something different like Iowa State's never getting there.
No.
Kentucky's never – something like that. But it'd be fun. Like, it'd be – that's what I'm talking about.
But that's what people would talk about, the big blue blood losing.
Yes.
As opposed to the under – prime example, we just had it happen. It just happened to us here. Cam Ward was the number one overall pick. What have people been talking about?
Yeah,
Shador Sanders fall.
Shador, yeah. You're right. No, I mean, you're wholly right on that. And that's the thing is that we get exhausted on things. That's why an Indiana-Oklahoma City would be, I think, be fun because it's different.
It would be great.
But the other people outside looking like, nah, I'm not going to watch that. Same way they wouldn't watch an Iowa State and Kentucky national championship.
We'll continue this discussion coming up next, 615-737-1025 if you want to call or text. We will get to you coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Tuesday, rolling right along, Fast and Furious, discussing, you know, big TV markets and franchises. What's funny, Joe, is if you look at the last few Super Bowl matchups and just think about the teams, just think about the cities, they don't blow you away because what city in particular is in basically the last five or six Super Bowls?
Kansas City.
Right.
Yeah.
But we watch it because of Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
Like, you think about this. February 7th, 2021, that Super Bowl. Tampa Bay versus Kansas City.
Ugh.
Except it was Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely.
So it's a little bit different. Because I think the stars of the NFL, no disrespect, have more pull than the other sports when it comes to pulling eyeballs on the television.
Well, you had the changing of the guard of Brady and Mahomes. I mean, we all watched that.
But Brady kicked the crap out of Mahomes.
Yeah. We didn't know that at 5:20.
Yeah, right. Everybody thought it was going to be the other way around. And, you know, that it ended up changing. But, I mean, you had – like, San Francisco, where do you consider that? I mean, there's a lot of history with the 49ers, but I don't know if that really draws you in.
No, I mean, we're talking us personally here, but I'm telling you, when the NFL draft was here in 2019, 49er fans, there are more 49er fans here than 31 other teams combined, and I will fight you on that because I was down the middle of it. 49er fans are rabid. I mean, they love that. We just don't see it here because that's on the left coast. We don't see that. But I'm watching because it's football and I love football. But for those on the fence, you're probably not going to watch that.
Yeah. I mean, New England, that's Boston, so that's, you know, that's a good TV market.
Top five.
Atlanta is a top 10 TV market, but I don't think the Falcons really excite you.
Nope.
Carolina, no. Denver, no. Seattle?
No.
I mean, you had Seattle, Denver 1 year. But
that goes back to what we talked about. The NFL is lacking in stars, and they're trying to make stars wherever they can go. I mean, Justin Jefferson's great, but is he talked about?
No, he's not. He's in a different category.
Your son, Ja'Marr Chase, is he talked about? I mean, we talk about him a little bit.
Burrow is.
Yeah, he's a star. He's a quarterback and all that.
All right, name me the elite of the elite stars, not necessarily by talent, but just the household. You say this to somebody on the street, they know exactly who you're talking about, stars in the NFL right now.
Josh Allen.
Okay.
Mahomes.
Yep.
Burrow.
Yep.
You argue with this, but Tua, people know him. The concussions, Alabama, what's going on? And because his name is unique. Tua. You name it. You say Tua. Oh, the quarterback. They might not tell you where he plays, but they know he plays in the NFL. Let's go down. I'm trying to go to the teams that happened there.
Aaron Rodgers,
even though he's still hanging out.
That's five.
Yeah. And that's, give me defense guys. There's none. Unless I'm missing somebody. Chris Jones for the Chiefs?
No.
Right? You say Chris Jones, I think of the dude, Robbie's buddy that works for the Sounds. That's who I think about.
Dr. Crane, you got any that stand out?
Defensively? I'm not really.
Right?
I mean,
that's a tough one.
Maybe a linebacker or two here or there, but that's about Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
Just because he plays for the Cowboys, and that's, I mean, he's good, but he's also on TV all the time.
Right.
I don't know.
He plays for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard.
It really is. And so, you know, in the 80s and 90s, you had massive stars. Now the star power isn't, it's shifted to five, six, maybe seven guys. And that, you know, and that, you watch a Super Bowl, you can say, I watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, it's just.
Well, like 1325 says, the Super Bowl is a Super Bowl. It's going to get ratings no matter what the day is. Basically, it's a national holiday. The cooking, the drinking, and hanging out that's associated with the Super Bowl Sunday is going to happen no matter who is playing. The NFL is king, and other leagues are much more dependent on cities' markets for ratings. I think that's a fair point.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very good fair point on that. Yep.
But I will say that, you know, and we would love this here, but if next year it's the Minnesota Vikings and the Tennessee Titans in the Super Bowl, you're probably going to see a little bit of a dip.
Oh, a little bit. Heck yeah, you would.
You know, it's still the Super Bowl. You'll still watch, but it's going to be like, eh.
Yeah. That's what somebody said. Now, do the same for baseball. Who baseball players stand out to you that the non-casual fan would know? I don't know. I mean, we know Mookie Betts here, but it's because, A, he's from here, and, B, because he's a massive star and he's one of the best players to ever play baseball.
I have to read this text. 8566 with the text of the day. Man, I normally agree with you, but more people know Hawk Tua than Tua.
By the way, where is she?
She's back.
Oh, is she?
She's back. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's doing her podcast again. She she talked about the whole meme coin thing.
Oh, like, I need to see that or watch this.
Yeah, okay. So I guess
that's a very good text.
Yeah, she's been. Oh, that was. I kind of agree with that one. Tua is a little bit of a stretch.
You mentioned his name, people know who he is.
Right, but I think more in a different sense. Dylan in Antioch says Taylor Swift's boyfriend is one because of her.
Yeah, well, I mean,
the Kelseys, before. I think the Kelseys probably are in this category. And to an extent, they've done it themselves because they've marketed themselves that way.
Yes.
So I would say, you know, both the Kelseys could be in that. But
yeah.
But less about football and more about other things.
And Jason Kelce shows that not everybody needs a TV show.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true.
It's very true.
Faux show. Thank you, Joe. Coming up next, we'll talk to Andrew Allegretto, the voice of the Vandy boys, get his thoughts on the postseason as Vandy rolls through and wins the SEC title over the weekend. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.